Made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Soul Plus is every Saturday morning here on Sheffield Live for 1 hour from 10 a.m. All sorts of soul, the precursors to soul, the music that's come out of soul. And in 2018, it will feature The Big Chief. This is he, Alan Toussaint, playing Big Chief. Soul Plus, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. www.sheffieldlive.org, 93.2 FM, with Harry Welburn.
Have you heard? The local talent show is now on every Friday, 4 till 5. Sheffield is absolutely brimming over with singer-songwriters, bands, musicians, amazing talent, and we're going to showcase exactly what they can do. That's on the local talent show, Fridays, 4 till 5, here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
This is Roy Bailey and you're listening to Sheffield Live, number one for Sheffield music.
If you've just tuned in, this is Right Radio at Sheffield Live, which is a 2 hour show in which we showcase lots of different poets in Sheffield and Yorkshire and normally have a little interview, which you might have missed, you might have heard.
Just making you regret not tuning in earlier.
Exactly. I'm going to do a little run through of what's going on with this hour. We're doing mainly poems that have been recorded at the Hive Young Writers Festival, which happened on April 14th in Rotherham. So we'll be listening to a selection of poems and maybe a little bit of music/hip-hop as well.
And just general chat as well.
Yes, and then we'll be doing some reading of people that have written in with their own poems. We set a little task last month on the topic of dreams, so we have a few dream poems to read out. And we're also going to be talking about the Anti-Slam, which our other host says is going to be hosting.
Yes, the Anti-Slam is one of my favourite things to happen in poetry. It is a poetry night, it's a poetry slam, but unlike most poetry slams, the poet with the lowest score is the winner, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on.
Yes, and then we'll be ending with a few listings of what's happening in Sheffield in the coming month in terms of poetry events and other kind of literary businesses. Okay, it's gonna make sense now. Now up next we have some more recordings from the Hive Young Writers Festival. Okay, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Eloise Uniman. I'm a poet and short story writer. And I'm based in Rotherham.
What kind of style of poetry do you like to write?
Some people I know call me a domestic poet because I don't write about the Great War and everything. I write about like ordinary things, like people getting divorced or that batch of brownies you decided to bake that went very, very wrong.
Is there any poets in particular that really resonate with you?
I don't know. I recently read Confusion Species by Susanna Evans, which is here today, and Yeah, I liked that. I got some poetry by, sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong, Yersa Daly Ward. It was called Bone. It was like just a little card thing, and it had a poem on it about kind of things that you go through that give you scars, and it said like it will hurt but it will give you poetry, and I really like that idea.
Would you like to read us some of your poetry?
Sure.
Yeah?
This one doesn't have a title yet. Let us watch the stars in hospital slippers. Let us argue over Scrabble. Let us string out the letters we mean to say. Let us move to the seaside and feel the wind in our sails. Let us drink 500-pound champagne out of plastic cups and get grains of sand up in between our toes. Let us shower in sea spray and walk barefoot to the king-size bed. Let us dine on the complimentary sweets and watch Titanic. Pray they both survive it, even though we know how this ends. Let us taste denial in the mint chocolate ice cream. Let us let go. This one's called Satellite Sisters. Venus is upset, is tired of arguing with men in cafes about whether Pluto is a real planet, whether birth control is important. She weaves tales for the folks back home that leave out the tampon tax, ordering her latte and staring into its depths, missing the sulfuric acid clouds of the second planet from the sun. In this orbit, where according to Coco Chanel, beauty begins the moment you decide to be yourself, she is still the second brightest natural object in the night sky.
So, tell me who you are.
So I'm Jess.
And I'm Jazz.
And I'm a poet from Doncaster.
And I'm a poet from Rotherham.
Brilliant. What's brought you here today?
Jess.
Poetry, mainly, yeah. And just writing, getting to know other writers, seeing some professionals doing what they do and getting tips.
Brilliant. What got you into writing in the first place?
I think it's just a therapy more than anything.
Yeah, it's definitely heartache that first pulls into it. Yeah. You get your heart broken
and it's like all the little pieces that are shattered inside you, you just put together with a pen and some paper.
It's very therapeutic, isn't it? I used to say it was a way of drawing out your demons and making something beautiful out of it, because sometimes it really is. It gives these bad feelings that you get sometimes a construct that you can understand and evaluate and actually figure out how you can deal with this situation in future. And also, you get to write it down and then close the book and you don't have to think about it anymore. Yeah, you can literally remove it from yourself. It's a very incredible exercise.
The thing I've been asking people as well, because I'm a pessimist, is what stops people from writing poetry, do you think?
I think the only thing is self-doubt. Because I've not been able to write for a while, and I think the only thing that stems from that is me saying, no, your writing's crap, when I'm trying my hardest to come up with an idea or justify a feeling that I've got and I can't quite do it. That self-doubt always pulls you back. My advice to anybody out there that's struggling with self-doubt is don't, because even if you don't like what you've written, somebody else might get something from that that could change their world.
Yeah. If just one person reads your poem and it changes them or touches them in some way, it's worth writing for them to hear it.
Definitely.
Or see it.
Never lose faith in yourself. Words are always important.
It's lovely. I was trying to be pessimistic and then you're making it all nice. We
can read you some pessimistic poems, that's all right. Yeah,
I'll do that. But I was going to ask as well, what do you think, because there's quite a big age range here, how do you think something like this compares to the way people learn about poetry in school or college?
This is a hell of a lot better than anything you could learn in school.
It's more concentrated.
Yeah, it's like you've got the different age range, but with it being It's 16 to 25, isn't it? Yeah, so with it being like over 16s, you know, you're all of an age where you understand each other and what's going on to an extent.
Yeah, also don't, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's not really young children who don't have any idea, and we're all roughly in the same age group. So it works. Yeah, and I think rather than it being in school, like, it's forced upon you, and it's very structured, whereas here you get to kind of have a wander about, talk to different people, and I don't know where I'm going anymore.
Well, the great thing about today is instead of learning about it through school is, like Jess says, a lot of people are here by a choice.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only problem with school sometimes as a structure. Like, I love learning things, but I don't like the idea that I couldn't choose whether or not I wanted to learn something that day. Like, today we pay for these tickets, we know exactly what's going on, and we've come here and we're really excited about meeting other poets, especially other writers who have been published as well. We could learn a lot more from them, just how to perform, because writing your poetry is only half the job. Learning how to deliver your poetry so that other people can understand it and feel it is a completely, entirely different thing. And that's why we're here, really, is just to understand how to communicate. I think that's everybody's basic need today, is just to understand how to communicate better.
Brilliant. And you were saying you got some poems with you, so can we hear?
I have one here that is about the Manchester attack last year. I'll read that one out for you now. Many young children have been pronounced dead, parents filled with dread, an unprecedented attack targeting the young. All they wanted was to hear their favourite songs being sung. Mainstream media putting out messages from families missing loved ones, worried they've not heard from their daughters or sons. And the rest of us, we sit and discuss how we're all overwhelmed with fear, wondering how anyone could think this atrocity was a good idea. How can anybody with any heart tear all of those precious lives apart? These extremists need to be taken out, but don't condemn people you don't know anything about. No matter our religion or race, we need to remember we're all against terror. If you think all Muslims think this way, you've made a serious error. Your doctors, your taxi drivers, they help the survivors. We need to keep one another safe and strong. Make sure your neighbours know they belong. Sadly, we can never bring back the departed. Yet the one thing we can take from this attack is the love and solidarity that's come to light. People flooding into blood donation centres must be quite a sight. The hotels taking in children on their own. A homeless man ensuring a woman doesn't die alone. Taxi drivers offering people free rides to get them back home safe and sound. The love that came in the aftermath is astoundingly profound. So please, mourn for those we lost in this disaster, yet remember how everyone came together. Remember that together our love is vaster.
Thank you. Oh, and I've got a more happy one about my daughter. I love my little girl. I thought she'd be more of an inspiration to me, but I actually find that I haven't got the words to write about this little girl.
Yeah, it can be difficult when it's someone so important.
She's so precious to me, yeah. But this is one of my attempts. She runs into the sea, laughter like liquid glee. I wonder if she's ever felt this free. The sand between her toes, leaving footprints where she goes, her childish innocence on full show. Nothing has ever fulfilled me this way, not just her smile here today, but the surge of love I feel every time I manage to find a way to make her smile. See my daughter, she glows, radiance from deep within, like a star gone supernova. But she's only just started her life, giving her a beautiful immunity to the world's darker parts. She's never experienced a true broken heart, and I'd love to keep it that way. So I fill her mind with incredible memories of days on the beach, so that even in those dark days I know are to come, all part of life's fun. She'll be able to remember the light, the way it bounces off the surface of the sea. And maybe, I hope, she'll remember how it felt to be this free.
Oh, that's really nice.
Thank you.
Okay, do you want to tell me a bit about yourself?
My name's Isaac. I'm 24. I live in Sheffield. I've been writing poetry semi-seriously for about 2 years. Been going to a spoken word evening called Guerrilla Poetry in Sheffield every month for the last 8 months, and that's been a really good vehicle for kind of developing excitement and experience and energy for Just getting more daring and creative with spoken word, because it's such a supportive community to like just bring new stuff and share and hear new stuff that other people are sharing. It just makes the whole thing a very collaborative kind of process. Even though everyone's writing it by themselves, the act of bringing it and sharing it, it feels like we're all learning how to be poets together, which is, yeah, just lovely.
Would you say that your writing process is kind of like a pastiche of hearing things and assimilating them, or is it something that you do on a more solo basis? Or
It varies depending on the poem. So a lot of the stuff that I do, I feel like, is more like little stories in the format of poems, most of which seem to feature animals taking on some kind of metaphorical role, but some of which are just... I don't know, some of them are quite abstract, some of them aren't.
Do you like magic realism, or is it just something that you've developed within your own writing?
Maybe it is magic realism. I'd say that probably is.
Bit of a didactic weight to them.
Yeah, so I use animals kind of as something that can function as both character and symbol.
Magic realism. Okay, so we have a poem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have quite a few poems in this book. Yes. What is the title of this very funny poem that I've heard before?
The title of this poem is Origins, Porigins.
Lovely.
Because it's kind of... It started out as... it wasn't a poem originally. Originally it was something that happened to me. And then I kind of thought, this is great, I need to write it down in case I forget any of the details. So I wrote it as a kind of like page-long... not quite a short story, but kind of like anecdote thing. So the first time I ever did an open mic poetry performance, I basically just told it as a story, and people loved it, because it's quite funny, and quite weird, and quite colourful. But I wanted to try and convert it into a poem, but I didn't really know how to do that, because it is quite long. But I feel like this is a 3.5-page poem. I feel like it gets a lot of the detail in there while not being too rambling. Shall I just launch into it?
Yeah, go for it. So this is Origins, Porigins by Isaac, last name?
Stavell.
There we go. Okay.
Picture the scene, Glasgow 2016, the Saturday right after Brexit. Spirits are high and so are my mates, none of whom wanted to see madness. I'm dead set on going. This worried the crew, given the aplomb with which I can get lost, and often did, among sun-baked masses. They insisted that I be accompanied there, lest my phone-dyed, head-spun self not see them again until evening time, upon return to the congregant tents. So I'm pawned off on friends of friends, who'd agreed to babysit, and off we go, marching across the capital city of Sesh, and I have nothing to say to these people, who, during our walk, I come to realise may be among the most vacuous blots in this whole damn festival. Oh, it's not as good as last year, my father hired a deluxe yurt. At least I wasn't considered worth plaguing with small talk, a mercy, but it's clear their task is taken seriously. Isaac, don't wander off, you tend to get lost, apparently. And I decide in glee of mischief that when we reach our destination, I am going to run away from them. Our cohort reaches the main stage and my chief mind says, okay, I'm ringing my friend, stay put, right? And when back turns, well, I flippin' peg it, fast as one can in wellies through crowds, until feels like a safe distance and I look round, laughing my head off, then obviously realise I've slipped any/all moorings. But no matter. To grasp random bearings as a reference point, I opt for a nearby Yorkshire flag, waving above the throng, and start walking toward it. But no sooner than halfway I'm stopped in my tracks by the vision of a character truly weirder than anyone I'd seen before or since. Beer can in right hand, spliff in left, aviator shades, flat cap with feather in, a t-shirt I remember being funny but not why, sheepskin jacket and, not joking, a kilt. Flip-flops, caked in mud up to his knees, and from tween yellow-grey teeth and stubbled jaw, he is belting out all the lyrics to Park Life. Naturally, I join him. We finish the song and converse a while, waiting for the band to arrive on stage. Turned out this chap used to be a bouncer for Suggs, who apparently is a real zany character in person. Now self-described madness megafan, who sells furniture second-hand in Bognor Regis. A cloud scuds over the sun, and momentarily, I feel afloat in bizarre transcendence of it all, and wonder whether he's just a figment of some kind of collective imagination. But he remains thoroughly existing throughout, singing and skanking along to the classics until it's over, and I blink in disbelief. Fumbled in the pocket of my kimono for the crumpled packet of Camels and offer him a smoke. As he obliges, it passes my notice that it was my final, and still a flutter from speculating as to his quasi-hallucinatory basis, casually remark, "Ah, it's my last cig. It's poetic, innit?" And suddenly he ceases the tree in a strong wind motion as he had been otherwise maintaining the whole time. He removes his mirrored sunglasses and fixes me with a look of seriously sceptical something and says, "Is it? Why? Are you a poet?" And somewhat baffled, I deny this, which seems to only deepen his ineffable suspicion. But needing to find my friends, I bid this character adieu. Then, mulling upon the interaction whilst contemplatively eating a box of steamed veg during the walk back, don't ask me to explain, but you know how these things go sometimes. It was like accidentally completing a jigsaw made of things I already knew, thought, felt, and yet simultaneously as if a notion had simply fallen from the sky or grown from the ground to establish itself as more or less my decision. After such an adventure, I succeeded in rejoining the others, and in utterly shambolic eruption of woolly excitement, tried to tell them this story, and didn't really do it proper justice, and wasn't really sure if they believed it, and maybe neither of those things matter.
Okay, that was perfect timing because there was a very avant-garde sounding ice cream van that played for an offensively long period of time.
If we're lucky, we might hear it again before the show's over.
Maybe.
But yes, that was some more voices and poetry and prose from the Hive Young Writers, which I'm going to be the grumpy old poet now, but like when I was a teenager and I was really into poetry, I was the only teenager I knew who was really into poetry. I knew people who were into like theatre and stuff like that, and I did like at youth theatre and all of that, but I was the only poet. I didn't think of myself as a poet. I was like, oh, I just write things down that rhyme sometimes, I'm a weirdo. And now there's these like festivals and hundreds of young people getting together and encouraging each other and writing together. And it's half of me is like, oh, it's so wonderful. And the other half is me like, I didn't have that. Why did I get to have that? So, yeah, it's really nice to see. And yeah, seeing people coming and giving support and sharing their experience and wisdom with younger generations. It's heartwarming.
And there's a big scene in Sheffield as well. It seems that I've been here for 5 years, and since I've been here, it seems that there's definitely built up.
I was thinking about this on the way over on the bus, actually, because the first poetry thing I went to in Sheffield will have been, 2004, 2003, something like that. And it was a night called Spoken Word Antics, run by a guy called Robin Vaughan Williams, who actually used to do a poetry show on Sheffield Live back in the day. So I was like, full circle.
Exactly.
Robin used to do a night at the Red Deer, and the first time I think I told this story, the first show we did, the first time I went, everyone assumed that I must be here to listen to my boyfriend do poetry. And the idea that I was A, going to do poetry myself, and B, going to do poetry I'd written, and I wasn't a 40-year-old white man, kind of blew everyone's mind a little bit. And again, now we've got a diverse scene. We've got young writers, we've got old writers, we've got people who've like just started writing really late in life. There's no barrier to being a poet. You can just turn up and do it. It's brilliant. But yeah, there was a real kind of like, you think your poetry's good enough to get up and say it, do you?
And that was about 14 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what people were saying.
They were kind of thinking it loudly. may have been my paranoia, but it was there.
A lot can be said with the eyes.
And it wasn't like, it wasn't nasty. It was just like, oh, we haven't had a girl before. But yeah, and then, yeah, nights like Speakeasy started at the Hallam Union. That was John Turner started that up. And that was a kind of uni and non-uni night. So that kind of started mixing up the generations a little bit. And yeah, I think ironically, I only met other young writers about the time I kind of stopped being a young writer because I couldn't really claim the title anymore. But I don't know if you can hear that, but we have got the good, the bad and the ugly in ice cream chime form going on outside the window right now. But yeah.
Spaghetti Westerns.
It's not spaghetti, it's ice cream.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a warm day in the studio. We're starting to get a bit of silly going on. So let's see, what else did we need to talk about?
We're going to talk about our dream poems.
So thank you for sending in poems. We've got a couple here, and after we've read these, I think, are you going to share
a
poem as well?
Yeah, I did have a selection of rather strange dreams that all happened on one evening and decided to write a poem about it.
Yeah, and what Evie considers a strange dream is probably stranger than what the rest of us consider a strange dream, so strap in for that. and then we'll be setting you a challenge for next time as well. So this is a poem by Karen Bull. Thanks, Karen, for sending this in. It's called Dreams. Never understand why we dream. No, sorry, I'll start that again. Never did understand why we dream. Leaves us in wonder, but sometimes a scream. We'd rather wake up clear for the day ahead, not full of confusion and fading meanings instead. Don't get me wrong, could get lost in the bliss of a good dream with a love and a kiss, but prefer to sleep well and wake up to life to face the good and the trouble and strife. That was Dreams by Karen Bull.
Lovely. And we have a poem by Paul James Hurrell, who sent something in called Please Come Back. Sunlight dances on my pillow from under the willow tree, scattering dreams that were long forgotten, but which now come back to haunt me. Happiness, where are you? Why do you hide? Does it make you happy to see that I've cried? Please come back. Ironically, as the sounds of the ice cream van regurgitate.
Yeah, I kind of hope that is being picked up because it's a little slice of Sheffield.
No, it does sound like we're just kind of slowly deteriorating into madness over the course of the
next
2 hours.
I think it sounds like that anyway.
I've written a poem. I haven't got a title for it, but I'm going to call it Sweet Corn Baby,
which you'll find out in a minute.
I've had too much caffeine as well, so it might be hard to grasp the sentiment, but I have to slow down. Okay. Light a brass weight in the oystered shell. Opalescent duo expects no greater goodness than the slide into that summer of prolonged invalidism, laid upon Venetian tiles where we smoked like Parisian princess, and the shoelace express fine shrunk my waist into a corseted cling. Sun-baked cotton falling as if curtain call into the hands of a back-stroked velvet. Voicing this, what I mean to hint is that I'm sliding across the shivering of my neglected collarbones in the cruel winter air. Bones that have never been to Venice whatsoever, but instead are wisping about this steel city's sullen silver sky and wondering if the day will brighten some. Brighten so that they might be anointed by the unholy cape. Fabricated taffeta of mind's mosaic where no guilt is to be had in the firm foot and establishment of life's best joys spent in the heady haze of unreality. Technicolor bleeding from the pavement's grey, like how a smirk is both blossom and thorn going and now gone into the other side of daylight. Yesterday I dreamt that my mother had frozen her baby 22 years ago, and in the Augustus gloop up the tube and sands of time she fell into my palms, quick in the shopping centre, swift round the conveyor of the sushi stand, bolt straight out the cylinder and into my lap, looking like a gargoyle, speaking as though dictionary swallowed whole. She quickly metamorphosed and sister was born anew, the second coming of Christ in the form of a large square of sweet corn. To hide amidst the others in the elderly woman's jacket, precariously couching in the potato takeaway box. Corn could be sentimental if credence is granted to homonyms, and so it could have been a pocket Bible couched in the sofa, with the lazy oaf in her Leviticus claiming, "Disobey the gods and you shall eat your babies. Don't eat that corn, it's holy like bread, holy like the shittiest watered-down soup that this world's men and women have ever been fed." And nonetheless, I had to stalk her, the old woman, and spin a story about corn's divinity before stealing my baby sweet sister, only recently unthawed from the turn of the millennium, a baby gargoyle hybrid, firm believing that Steve Jobs was a has-been and that Stalin wrote flowery poems about flowers. In the days prior sleep, the world so unfair in its future plight, governed by a great underbelly of felines shooting DMT laser beam projectors in every move, petaled out as claws retracted, piston daggers blistering diamonds through the earth's crust, this universal sphere receiving the final Sims 4 upgrade. Queer how tonight I will dream that Renoda Ryder will, I'm going to blank that out, into the sunset, and after all the red rushing into that place where it's only warm and life blushing sure as orchids and small men in canoes, we'll give our baby sloth a handful of hyacinths in the corner where he now resides in the lofty vines that purvey our treehouse, rooted in one of Bali's thousands or so islands. No, sorry, the Galapagos. It was the Galapagos, Ecuador. So that was a selection of strange dreams I had in one evening.
And I really hope that somebody tuned in just as that was starting and has been sitting there listening like completely confused. But if you have just tuned in, that was the inside of my co-host's head. So thanks for that, Evie. That was amazing. I like Squeaks. I think Sweet Corn Baby is a good name for that poem. Okay. I'd go with that. Something that we were going to talk about was the anti-slam, because next month we will be recording, we'll be pre-recording live from the anti-slam, and so you'll get to hear what goes on there. The anti-slam has been going for, it's going to be getting on for 9 or 10 years now, because it started in Berlin. Poet and theatre maker called Paula Varjak started it off in kind of response to the fact that the poetry scene can get a bit pretentious at times, and people can start taking themselves a little bit too seriously, especially at slams, and it becomes very important to win and be the best poet. And it's not about that, really. Especially the slam scene's not about that. It's about having a good time and a bit of fun with your poetry. So what Paula did was she invited people to not only write the worst poem that they could imagine anybody ever doing, but to be the worst poet, to be obnoxious or pretentious or mean or make really like bad metaphors that made you sort of feel a bit ill instead of inspiring you. And the first one I've seen, if you look up the anti-slam on YouTube, there's quite a lot of videos. But the one from Berlin, the first one, you can just see the night clearly just degenerated into complete chaos by the end, with people stealing the mic off the host because they hadn't finished their poems and things like that. It looks like it was an absolute blast. And I saw this video in about 2010 and asked Paula if she would mind if I did one in Sheffield. So, and we did that, and we had a brilliant time. Lots of Sheffield and South Yorkshire poets. Gav Roberts, I remember, was the modern cheese, who has gone down in history.
The modern cheese. Can you give us a little bit more information?
Gav Roberts is a wonderful socialist, really, really friendly Rotherham guy who's an amazing poet, and the modern cheese, who is his alter ego, is the exact opposite of that. The modern cheese is pretentious and he is misogynistic, and he refuses to do some of the poems because it's beneath him to compete like this, but he really wants to win. He likes his wine and cheese. That's why he's the modern cheese, I think. I think a lot of people came to that poetry night who hadn't been to a poetry night before. So I hope they got to know later that Gav's actually really sound. We had a feminist poet called Virgin. She was French when she remembered to be French, but sometimes she forgot. We had Katie Canadia, who will actually be returning as a judge this time, which was actually otherwise known as Kate Garrett-Neild. And again, Katie Canadia is a kind of, if Kate was a more pretentious and mean version of herself, because Katie Canadia is a big hippie. Mm. And I think it's fair to say so, is that Kate's a bit of a hippie as well.
But twist on the hippie, though?
Yeah.
She's
a morally bankrupt hippie. That's okay. Exactly what she thinks, that you should let go of the ego and just listen to what she has to say for a change. she'll be an interesting judge to have. And we've actually got poets coming from all over the north of England to do this one. Awesome. So we've got Anna Percy coming over from Manchester, possibly going to be playing her own ex-boyfriend. Not sure. last I heard, that was her plan. We've got Ava Liversidge, who's a comedian from Sheffield, who's going to be performing. We've got Dan from I've lost his last name. It's gone out of my head, but he's from Derby, and he came and did Verse Matters a couple of months ago, and he's bringing his alter ego Geezer Fight. We've got Craig Eads, who's going to be doing their feminist character She Guevara, who's a returning anti-slam character. So people bring their characters back, or they create new characters.
And is there a kind of tradition of staying in character, not just for your piece, but for the...
Oh yeah, you heckle each other. Mm. I'm just keeping an eye on the time there, because I could. We've got ages. Have we?
I just want you to keep talking. Yeah, okay. We're on a roll. But it's interesting that there is that hybrid between theatre and poetry.
Yeah, it's definitely. There's improv going on. So people quite often, what the tradition is that you, the first round is a pre-prepared poem, but the second round is you get told what your poem's going to be about before the break. So you get all these people frantically scribbling.
Mm. Ironically so, because it has to be the worst poem
ever. Yeah. So but that's a challenge. You need to be able to write a good poem to be able to write a funny bad poem. Mm. That's because people always say, oh, the anti-slam, oh, worst poet wins, oh, I could win that without even trying. It's like, no, mate, you don't understand. This is harder than a real slam, because you have to understand why a poem is bad and what makes that funny. Mm. And not do it in a way that's mean. We don't have any punching down. We don't have any... being horrible about new and inexperienced poets isn't really cool. Mm. Because it's not cool to like laugh at people for not knowing much about poetry yet. It's the people who think they're great. Mm. and aren't that we're laughing at here, not the people who are new. But yes, the Anti-Slam will be on the 24th of May, and it's at Shakespeare's Pub, partly because I thought it would be really funny to just kind of desecrate the memory of Shakespeare with some really bad poetry. There's an Anti-Slam Sheffield 2018 event on Facebook, which we will put a link to on the Write Radio Facebook website.
It sounds very, very good. And now the opposite of bad poetry, yes. We're going to put some good stuff on. Which would be some more poems from the Hive Young Writers Festival.
So please, for each individual comes up to share something. As they come up, big cheer, and as they come up, big cheer, even a bigger cheer.
Lauren Conway.
And what's brought you here today?
So, I've just come along with friends, really. I've been coming to spoken word nights, occasionally over the course of about 3 to 4 years, just to listen to my friends.
Which ones have you been going to?
Romp at Rotherham. So Romp, it's really grassroots. There's a lot of different people there. I really didn't know what to expect at first, but there's people of all different ages. It even transpired that there were some younger kids that were too young to drink alcohol sneaking in so they could read the poetry.
That sounds about right.
So they changed the start time.
It's really nice when like underage kids are sneaking into pubs for the poetry.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
So the organisers changed the start time so they were actually allowed in so they can read first.
Brilliant.
But there's people of all different ages, you know, like men, women, and just people that you wouldn't necessarily attribute poetry to, which is really nice to hear those voices.
So, tell us what sort of stuff you write.
Well, I've written 3 poems in my life, so I'm a beginner. So I wrote one political one just before the election.
Yeah. And I think the election inspired a lot of people, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's not always in a good way,
I felt
but
very emotional.
There were some emotions.
Yeah, and this is after like 3 years of being sat and like, right, I'm going to write a poem now because my friends inspire me so much and not being able to do it and just coming up with rubbish, basically. It just all of a sudden came and I had to write it down. And I think there were a bit of procrastination to it as well.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to be revising for exams.
Oh,
but
that's a good
poem
way.
Happened instead, and that's productive, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so one about politics and 2 about alcohol, because I've stopped binge drinking on a twice weekly basis for the first time in my adult life recently.
Well, maybe that's why it's more easy to write the poetry.
Possibly. And I've took kind of a step back and just done some re-examining and recalibration, and so I've written some poems about alcohol and about our culture's kind of crafted around it.
Yeah.
From like a different lens.
Yeah. What blocks you from writing poetry? What stops people writing?
Self-doubt. 100%. What I'm doing is not good enough. And like, I work with children, and I know that children, well, I'm actually a developmental psychologist, and there's a myth that children can learn languages faster than adults and that children can pick up things faster than adults. And that's completely true. There's no, you know, qualitative, you know, reason why children can learn things faster, other than they're less afraid of making mistakes.
So I'm
starting to enjoy my mistakes now because it's
making
a process.
failures like just make interesting things happen.
Yeah, revel in the cringe.
Different tape.
What's your artist name?
Zilch. My name is
Zilch. That's catchy. I like it.
Thank you.
Do you wanna do some?
Yeah, I'll do an old poem.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we recording? Yeah. Okay. My name is Zilch. I'm only 19, but my mind is older. I'm from Sheffield. Poet, artist, lyricist, MC, beat maker, all that. Prodigy. No. Do you just want me to go into it?
Okay,
this is an old thing, old one, by a guy called Jay Zill. It's called Self. It goes something like, listen, blood, you need to find yourself. Be genuine with mind, benign to self, or you're gonna end up miles behind yourself. Look, recline, that's fine, but first apply yourself. Align to cloud 9, blood, that's your higher self. I heard you're scared of freezing up. Passion's fire helps, but don't scorch your wealth. That's a crime to self. Sometimes I need to keep a sharp eye on self, cause I is selfless and tired of welts from those who misuse and lie to self. Supply the type of vibe that's cyanide to self. I try to stay far away, high on shelf, but I keep coming down to say hi. Oh well, it's self with a C. That's how science spells, at least it should do. Call we are, it's piles of cells. So cells create self. That's how I felt since that KRS lecture. I've seen it crowd itself, it chasing little short skirts. Forget a quiet self. Myself is funny to me, like that guy Chappelle. Pisces sign, but freely Gemini and self. An evil twin on the verge of taking over this show. But what you need to do is truly admire yourself. That way, you can only multiply yourself. Expand like weed strands and G5 fly through self. But before all that, look in the mirror and I'll smile at self. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm Rachel. I'm from Sheffield. And, yeah.
I'm Tandy. I'm from Sheffield.
And what's brought you here today?
Well, Tandy told me about it, and we do like a writer's group at school. And then her parents, this is right, your parents, they're people who organised it, yeah. So, yeah.
What's it been like today?
It's been really informational, full of information, like lots of things at once, but it's been really good.
Cool. So what kind of things do you write?
I try and write, so I mostly write like poems and like start writing stories, and I've had a couple of poems and short stories published, because we get that through school.
Yeah. We've had about, we've been in about 3 different books of anthologies.
Oh, brilliant.
Been published.
So, yeah.
And what would you say inspires you to write?
Mainly everyday life experience, and like your imagination just goes wild from there.
And what stops you from writing?
I'm really, really busy. So, sort of prioritising things at different times is something I sometimes struggle with, and I do like writing. I just, like, time to write is often
mainly
difficult.
Schoolwork, because we're in year 11, so we've got a lot of exams. Yeah. But in early years, it was write all the time.
Although I think with the exams help sometimes, because you've got sort of, you have to do the descriptive writing, and then you can just pour everything that you know it at it, and hopefully that will give you a kind of advantage.
Hello. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Beth. I'm 19, and this poem is called A Plea for Future Winters. Don't ever let me say it's only snow. If the season comes when I no longer watch wide-eyed at windows, for each footstep crunch, when I never run arms wide into blizzards, when these Christmas card days cannot make me a child again, throw a snowball in my face. Take me sledging in Bingham Park on a red toboggan with yellow handles. Tell me the name of every snowman I've ever built. Remind me how we squealed when the first flakes fell, how it tasted to catch wonder on my tongue.
I am Sherston Luckins. I'm producer in the North for performance poetry organisation Apples and Snakes.
And what do Apples and Snakes do? What's brought you down to Hive Young Writers Festival?
Well, we nationally we support performance poets and put on live events and workshops and mentor people and employ poets to do various things. In the North, I do lots of different things, but one of the things I do is get involved with collectives and try and support them. So I know Vicky and Hive through actually being involved with Verse Matters and doing some work with them. Vicky did a podcast for us, was part of a team doing a podcast on suffragettes earlier in the year, and she got in touch with me and asked me if I would like to come along and see what Hive was doing here today, be on a panel and meet some young writers, and I said yes.
What was the panel about? What?
So I was on a panel with, it was quite poetry heavy actually, there was me and Andy Craven Griffiths and Billy from Young Identity and Claire Fisher, who's a short story and novel writer, and it was open to the floor really. Everybody was asking us all kinds of different things, like, you know, what's your favourite book, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever done on stage, of which I had quite a few stories, and just, I guess, just trying to give advice and encouragement for young people who are writing now to keep on with it.
So, yeah, the thing I've been talking to a few people who've come today is, why is something like this important? Why, as opposed to learning poetry at school or learning about writing?
When I came in and obviously went straight to get a cup of tea, and I was standing there with the other authors and writers, and we'd arrived early, and we were all going, there was nothing like this when I was their age. I didn't even have the internet. I couldn't find anybody. I couldn't find anybody else who loved poetry or wanted to perform it. I couldn't find anybody who could help me or commiserate with me. I just didn't know. And what you do with a thing like this is you bring all of these young people into the same space, and they immediately become part of a community of writers and feel less alone and hopefully more encouraged to see their writing as being a normal, enjoyable thing that they should do for all of their life.
So have you got any advice for young writers if you'd like to put on record here?
Read a lot. Write a lot. Find the people whose opinion you trust and ask for them to give you feedback from time to time. Don't compare yourself to other people if you can possibly help it. And go with what your heart tells you is the most enjoyable and truthful thing to write.
Hey. No traps, guys trying to stack up your life. Hey. Hey. Girls and guys from the scavenger ride. It's a picture, man, like cyanide to a parasite. It's a sign of paradise shit. All I know at night is to fire what's the highest requirement. Dodging the likes of the siren room. Breathing eyes out of my eye, you know, the spider room. Style of no star, life and zilch. You know, smile, throw flowers at your heart is skills. Flowers, Bill Mill, keep an eye out on the future and the young as other bills on the grill. Fresh out the map, it comes to the grill, rapid packing skills, combining the pipes, they're coming with that shit. Sound checks in the ground, they were cracking, rumble in the ground, had the crowd, now what happened? The public. Ah! I don't know, what is the car, could you fathom? Seems to recognize the plasma, my eyes have been blackened, and haven't had it from any flicker of light. I can scavenge, still sighting solace, stay inside my planets. Banging through the forest with a casket on my knowledge, keeps the hassle in the bollocks, I'm a planet overbunking. Make promises and watch it bypass like Sonic. To be honest, I was never ready for gossip or politics. Yay.
I'm Molly Ridley. I am here to find out more about writing and how to make that a thing, because it's one of the creative things I do, and but I don't know what I'm doing with it. So.
So what sort of things do you write?
A bit of everything. I've been working on a couple of novels, poetry, short stories, and I've even got a script on the go for a sort of mockumentary type thing.
And what's today been like so far?
It's been absolutely brilliant. I've learned a lot. You'll see a lot of people network. It's really inspiring. I haven't done a lot of writing recently just because I fell out the loop a bit. So it's really nice to be around so many creative people.
That was a little sound file from the Hive Young Writers Festival.
That was from the amazing open mic that happened. Bit of audience participation going on at the end. Really nice atmosphere in the room. I could just about make out my voice in the read that, write that bit going on because I was a bit close to the mic. But I was getting really into it, so sorry. So I forgot before I was going to set a task for anybody who wants to write it. Anyone can write in a poem and have it, send it in for us to read, or we can or get in touch and we can come and record you reading it, which might be a good idea with this this prompt, because otherwise you might have me, Evie and Christoph absolutely murdering what you've written. Because what I'd like to suggest is that I know there's a lot of people in Sheffield who speak more than one language, and definitely a lot of people who speak more than one dialect. Sometimes we speak more broad Yorkshire than at other times. So I want to hear poems that are either in more than one language or in more than one dialect, or play with language in some way. You could even make up a language. There's poets. Edwin Morgan's done poems in made up language. He's worth looking up for that. So yeah, let's have some message. Like a bit, and we heard from James Roberts earlier. He was writing in English and Spanish and mixing it together. But yeah, we don't make any promises about pronunciation if it's a language that none of us know.
Yes, that's why it's even more reason for you to send in sound files.
I think Christophe can speak French.
Yes.
So yeah. Like that'd be all right. But I can speak German. Anything else, you might have to read it out yourself.
Mm. Talking of German, actually, there's a girl from my course who speaks German as well as English, and she did a poetry sequence in which she translated a very old Yorkshire poem into Google Translate, into German, back into English, and then into Arabic, and then back into English. And when it had been retranslated, the kind of message of the poem was like about taking languages, so it was kind of like Google Matrix confirmed. But also an interesting
so that might activity. So if you don't speak more than one language, that could be a way of doing this, is get on Google Translate and really confuse it.
Yeah, and then my Hungarian lecturer read out the Hungarian version and said it didn't make any sense. But you know, you don't have to make sense all the time.
Or it might make different sense.
Yeah, so please...
alternative sense.
Exactly. Right, for the next couple of minutes, we've got poetry listings of some events that are coming up in the next month in Sheffield. So on the 12th of May, we've got... Which is tomorrow, in fact. Yeah, tomorrow.
Yes.
If We All Spit Together, which is by a writer called Matt Abbott.
Yes, Matt's I think originally from Wakefield, but has moved down to London because he's getting quite successful and famous. You might have seen him on the Nationwide adverts. He did some of the poetry on those. He's a very, very good poet. So worth checking out. I don't know whether that will be sold out, but... I think if you get in touch with the Millennium Galleries, you should be able to find out about that.
So that sounds really interesting. A lot of political poetry, I think that's the kind of like the sound that he's...
It will be if it's Matt.
And then on the 17th of May, there's the Laureate's Choice Poets with Hira Lindsay Bird at Theatre Delhi, which sounds good. And then there's a night that I'm helping to host at the moment. We are still coming up with the title, maybe Poetry Lates, maybe... It was originally Big Smiles, Good Musings, but I'm not too sure if it's going to be
It's some poems and words and things, yes. And it's going to be where?
And we need more people. It's at Food Hall in town. So if you're free on the 18th of May and you'd like to attend it or actually do a reading, then... please find out about that. It will be online, so if you look at the Food Hall page, there'll be information about upcoming events, and it'll be on the 18th of May.
That's another thing that people can come and have a go. I was going to say if you think you're hard enough then, but that's not really appropriate. Come and have a go if you think you're a poetical person.
And then on the 21st of May, there is Gorilla, which is at Gardener's Rest.
Oh, I really want to be called Gardener at Gorilla's Rest. Gorilla is a stalwart of the Sheffield scene. It's an open mic night. It has in the past been... I was talking about this with Kate Garrett-Neal, actually, who will be coming up later in the listings, about how many people have run Gorilla. So we've had... It's currently Amy Kinsman. Before that, it was Craig Eade. Before that, it was Rob de Bourne. Before that, it was... I think Anil MC did it for a bit. I think started off somebody called Michael did it. It's been everywhere.
Okay.
It's been in about 5 different venues as well. So yeah, go check that out.
We've got to hurry up. We've got 2 minutes. We've got to
listings. Stop talking nonsense.
24th, your anti-slam, which anti-slam, would be awesome. Which we talked really, about. Really
Shakespeare's, 24th of May, pay some money on the door, find it on the internet. Live Late, 25th of May, Descent, presented by Wordlife and Folk Forest at the Graves Gallery. That's part of the Festival of Debate. 26th of May, Poetry Business Writing Day. That's a workshop that's £30 or £25 if you're unwaged. 29th of May, Losing Interest in the Sound of Petrichor, the Kate Garrett's new collection that we heard about last month. That's at the Fat Cat. 30th of May, Route 57 book launch.
Mm-hmm, which is set up by the University of Sheffield. And
it's in our annual collection that comes out.
Yes, yes.
Romp, which we heard about from the Hive Young Writers. That's at the Bridge Inn in Rotherham on the 1st of June. 3rd of June, Rehearse the Verse, which will be a poetry workshop at Theatre Delhi. Find out more on the Verse Matters website. 6th of June, Write Out Loud, workshop with Genevieve Carver at the Rutland Arms. And we're done. That's yes. all of the things that are happening in Sheffield and South Yorkshire.
Yeah. And we're going to be putting them on the Write Radio Facebook page. So if you're wondering about some of those events or you didn't quite catch one, the name of them, because we went through them so quickly, then we'll put them on online. So yeah. Yep.
And please get in touch if you want with the on the website or on the email. Send us poems. What's the email?
The email is...